Welcome to the Empowering Women Got a Minute podcast, sharing how women find empowerment each and every day. Join our host, Brianna Hinkle, as she chats with guests to see what drives them in their careers, hobbies, and family in just 20 minutes or less. So now take a minute with us and feel empowered. Sponsored by Phippen Museum, Art and Heritage of the American West. For more information and upcoming shows, visit phippenartmuseum.org. Today we are talking to Katie Norris about Prescott Area Shelter Services and the services they offer. Katie Norris has been working at Prescott Area Shelter Services since 2012. She stepped into this role through the AmeriCorps program as a VISTA, and after 2 years of service, she became the Director of Programs. Katie makes sure the shelter runs smoothly, that the guests have clean and safe environment, they feel cared for and are treated with kindness. She ensures we have volunteers to support the guests through meals, advocacy, and empowerment as a volunteer coordinator, and she dedicates endless amounts of time writing grants, planning fundraisers, and creating new programs and expansions to better support the guests. Katie has also become a registered nurse and works at a hospital in Flagstaff as an RN, BSN. Katie takes her experience at both the shelter and the hospital and learns from them to better serve and help people in need, no matter what situation they are in.
Well, hello, Katie. We would love to take a minute to chat with you today about Prescott Area Shelter Services and what they do to serve women and children in our community. So, Katie, can you tell us a little bit about Prescott Area Shelter Services?
Sure. So Prescott Area Shelter Services, or PASS, is a homeless shelter for women and women with children. We have a 26-bed facility here in our emergency shelter that was opened in 2009. We started in 2007 in the basement of Hillside Church of God as a winter shelter, at that time the only shelter for women in the area. And then it was so needed and so many people came, they decided to expand, come to this building and become a 501c3 in 2009. So since then, we've grown quite a bit. We offer the emergency shelter for women and children. It's for 90 days. We built an expansion onto our shelter so we could serve moms with teen boys, because there was no other place for teen boys to go in the area, because they can't be in a dorm style shelter with other women. And so we do have that full 26 bed capacity. That's not including like babies in bassinets or moms with younger kids who want a co-bed and stuff. In the wintertime, it gets pretty busy here. And then we also have created 7 supportive programs over the years, which I think really helps our successful transition rate, which is right now about 81% of our guests move into a permanent housing situation. And that is, we have a case manager who works with them extensively. We have Wheels to Work to give taxi vouchers, gas cards, help with bus things, because transportation can be tricky around here. We have Operation Deep Freeze in the winter. We work with Salvation Army. People come and sleep on our front floor when it's 35 degrees or below, because we're always full, but that way nobody freezes in the winter. We have a match money program. We have a children's program. And the biggest thing actually is our homeless transition, our transitional housing project. We own a home in Chino and we own a fourplex really close to our shelter that we just bought in February. So we're trying to fix it up, but we have 4 women living in Chino, and then the fourplex is amazing because we can serve fathers. So we have 2 single dads with their kids, and then a single mom and 2 elderly women without vehicles who can't live in Chino. And so that's a big thing for us. Like, we'll always maintain our emergency shelter, but the best way to end homelessness is to provide affordable housing. And so our goal as a shelter is to keep buying houses as we can, mm-hmm. or fourplexes, things like that, to keep expanding. Fourplexes or apartments or trailers are best for family situations, but a house is fine for single women. So PASS does a lot. We are a 501c3, so we qualify for donations, but we serve mostly on donations. And then our volunteers, we have a huge volunteer base because only a few of us work here, and then our volunteers keep us going.
Wow, that's amazing. It's been so amazing to see the transitions because I've lived here, well, I grew up here, I was born and raised, so lived here a long time, but since 2009, to see every new program that you've been able to develop over the years in order to best facilitate the needs of women and children and men, which is so interesting. And I think that's so important to also acknowledge is that you're servicing the whole community as much, you know, that the community in need. And I thought that was so interesting. I love the, it's the Wheels program. What's that called again?
Yeah, that help with transportation, Wheels to Work.
Mm-hmm. Wheels to Work. I think that's so important too, because yes, we lack in that in this community. We lack in affordable housing. We lack in some of that transportational needs, which is very important. So I think that's just so important that you have so many of these different programs available. How did you get involved with the organization?
So I've been here for over 11 years. So now like 2012, I grew up in Washington State. So that's where I was. And I came to PASS, it was PAWS back then, but PASS as an AmeriCorps VISTA, which is like the domestic version of the Peace Corps. I had already done a year after college, and then I decided to come here. My husband is from Arizona, so we just thought we could try it for 1 year, and we would only do 1 year. So I was a VISTA here at the shelter for 2 years, and then I got hired on. And while I was here, I decided I would go back to nursing school. And stuff like that. And then I just became very attached to the shelter. It's amazing to work at a place where you can implement so much change. Like we are grant funded and we do have some restrictions on our grants, but all our individual donations allow us to see a vision, and our vision is a community without homelessness, and then work towards it in whatever capacity. And people trust us to use their money to best serve the women. And it's amazing. So I became hooked. So I've been here, but I did come as a VISTA originally for AmeriCorps.
Oh, that's such a great program too. And I know that sometimes that is the way that people get into these positions that they really enjoy, is just by saying, well, I'm going to see how it goes, do it for a little while. And then obviously the mission and what you've accomplished there is stuck with you. And that's it's so amazing to see that. And, so your current role at PASS is, what is your current role at PASS?
I'm called the Director of Programs. It's been a lot of different things, but we're such a small staff. So Carmen is the Executive Director, and then we have Danielle, who is a case manager. And that's something we've done more so in recent years, is making sure we have, she's like part-time, but here 3 evenings a week, a case manager to meet with all the guests. And then we have a contracted marketing director, Julie, who helps us, but, you know, not a lot, but she's able to help us, you know, a certain amount of hours a week, which has been amazing. She's helped us grow so much, in our ability to market ourselves. We're not professionals there. And then we have a transitional housing case manager, but also very part-time. So, I kind of do, everybody does everything in a sense. So, I write all the grants, I plan the events, manage all the volunteers, create the programs, implement things. But we all kind of have to do everything because there's just a few of us.
Yeah, you put on many hats, I think.
Makes it nice. Every day is different. It's not the same thing ever.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's what it takes, is to know how to put on those different hats and jump in where needed. Mm-hmm. Even if you specialize in one aspect and your role is supposed to be more one line, you know, it's so important to be able to be like, well, today I'm doing the grant writing, today I'm doing this, and I'm sure, you know, meeting with clients, doing different things. You have to jump in as needed. And that's probably why, because so many of your staff does that, it's probably why you've excelled so much at, you know, adding on new programs and doing new things.
Yeah, we're like very passionate staff and board, actually. It helps a lot.
that is very helpful. The board too. Yes, definitely. Cause you need that to kind of help facilitate all of that. Mm-hmm. If someone in the community could do one thing today to help support PASS, what would that be?
One thing, which isn't a fun thing, but monetarily help supporting us helps us a lot. It's 28, we figured that $28 a day for a guest to stay here. And that includes all of our services, all of those supportive programs I mentioned, the case management, not just a roof over their head or anything like that. We also need all the supplies to keep the shelter clean. You know, everything that you could think of we need. So that's a great way to help, or calling us and seeing like maybe certain supplies we're running low on. It changes every day. It's not just toilet paper or this or that. We go through certain things. So if you want to do a supply run, that can be really helpful. And then we are a volunteer run facility. Weekends in particular can be tricky. So if anybody's like, you know, looking for a volunteer opportunity, I'd love to show them the shelter and explain. We have multiple different volunteer opportunities, not just one. So those are a couple of ways that we could use support.
I love that. And I think that gives an individual some options, you know, so that's what's always so nice to know about nonprofit giving is that, the monetary needs are very important because that fulfills so many of those program needs. But then also there's items or time. Like there's so many different ways to give. And so that's what's so great about nonprofits, you know, is that you as an individual or myself as an individual can do these different aspects, you know, where it's like sometimes I've seen where there's calls for specific items. You think, oh, I can do that today. Or I can give some time, or I can give some money. I have, you know, that capability. And I think that's what's so great is that there is no wrong way to give back, you know?
Right. Appreciate everything here. It's because of the community that we even exist. So we appreciate it.
And then you said, and you mentioned this earlier, that you went to nursing school, and I believe you also work as an RN in Flagstaff. And so how do you balance your time between both jobs and maybe other aspects, nonprofit giving and family personal life? How do you find that balance?
It's probably not like the best balance, but it's because I love both jobs. So I think that helps. And then not having kids just for babies. So that helps too. But so both jobs are full time. And but with the shelter, it's really nice because so much of what I do, I can do from home. And I actually live in Flagstaff. So I only come down here like 1 or 2 days a week to do stuff in house. And then everything else I can do from home. And then I love my job as a nurse. I'm a labor and delivery nurse. So I work to support women basically in all aspects of my jobs. And so that I think that makes a big difference to truly enjoy what you do. I really like our labor and delivery unit in Flagstaff. We have a lot of autonomy, the ability to really help and advocate and see change there too. And I think that's a big thing for me to feel like I'm heard and that things can happen. So I'd say a balance. I work a lot because it brings me joy, so that's fine. And then I travel a lot, and that also brings me joy. So I don't really take days off, but I take trips, and that works for me. So that's how I kind of do both.
I love that. I think that's a good part of like kind of refueling is that solid time off. Because yes, you could take a day here or there, but then we always find ways to fill those days anyways with chores, which is not really a day off or, you know, it's important to take a solid amount of time, get away from all of it and then just refuel, right?
I'm pretty good at figuring out how to finagle a trip here and there semi-frequently between both jobs. Cause I can still work on a trip too, and it doesn't bother me. So yeah, I like doing all those things.
I love that. And I love how it kind of all encompassing that women empowerment part of your life is, you know, through different aspects and to see women grow in different ways, you know, into motherhood or into empowering themselves, you know, out of situations. I think I bet that's just so very much rewarding.
It is incredibly rewarding. And that's what makes it so easy, I think, is to really enjoy what you do and feel like every day is different and you help people reach their goals and whatever goal it is, having a baby or mm-hmm. going to shelter or their own home or whatever it is. It's a nice thing to see.
I love that. I love it. So if a listener needed help and wanted to utilize maybe some of the services at PASS. How can they easily get in touch for PASS for services? And is there some, I don't want to say regulations or just some different steps in that process, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So we're a little different than some shelters. We're not a drop-in shelter. So if people need help, they just have to call first, or they can, if they don't have a phone, other agencies can call us on their behalf, like Catholic Charities and stuff. And we do like a pre-screen with them. We kind of let them know how our shelter works, because I think that's important. That you, for example, we close during the day 8 to 5 and encourage our guests to go out and look for work, look for resources. We can refer them to many resources in town where they can go to hang out during the day or utilize computers, things like that. But we do let them know how our shelter works. And then we do a pre-screen. We just answer some questions. And then we usually do have a wait list. We usually are full. So we just add them to our wait list. And it's a first come, first serve. So the person at the top gets the first call when a bed's open. We give them a couple days to get back to us. And if not, we just move on to that next person. On the rare occasion, somebody could show up here. And if staff happens to be in the office, we can talk with them. But it doesn't ensure a bed or anything. So I'd say just to make it easier, just call in advance, or people email through Google, because I get those, or through our website, I get those too. So if they're ever just want to ask, I can answer them and kind of explain how we work better before they even make the phone call.
And when a person comes into a shelter, especially emergency shelter, is there like a time frame where you try to transition them out, or is it everybody has their own needs and timelines, or, you know, depending on the person?
Yeah, so everybody has at least 3 months here, as long as our rules are followed. And we don't have very many, but we don't allow drugs or alcohol here, things like that. So 3 months of weekly case management meetings. We have weekly education to employability training. So different agencies come in and teach a topic. And we have all those other supportive programs we help with. So we help them reach their goals that we don't set for them. I think that's a big thing here. Our case manager meets with them. Her name is Danielle. And we help them figure out, like, what is it that they need to be successful? Is it their health? Is it they need a license because they lost, or a social security card because they can't even get a license to get a job? You know, step by step, we work through what everybody needs to be successful. And then we help them reach those goals. If at 3 months, you know, they've worked hard, they have an income, but it is so hard to find affordable housing here, they need a little bit more time, then we will extend them on like a week to week basis. We'll let them, you know, every week we're like, well, what did you apply to this week? Are you on the waitlist for all the affordable housing? Which we usually have them do right when they come in, is get on all those wait lists, because they can be kind of long wait lists. And then of course, if we have an opening in our transitional housing, we encourage them to apply. We have an interview process as well. But the minimum is 90 days here to kind of get settled and make a plan.
That's great. I think that helps people, because I mean, it takes some time to get established into a new routine anyway, you know, and a new idea of how to meet goals and kind of go through that. And I mean, yeah, and it can take time at the DMV. I feel like that, if you're getting a driver's license, can be a process. Uh-huh. So I think that's so important that you have time. They have mm-hmm. some time there.
Yes, definitely.
Well, we've actually come to the end of our podcast, but before we go, we do rapid fire questions where we ask our guests just some questions. They vary. So first off, what is your biggest fear?
Yeah, I thought about that one. And I think, besides like basic, you know, being sick, because no one likes that. But I think it's not making, not implementing enough change in the world, like leaving the world a better place than like you enter it. So, you know, make everybody's day better, make everybody feel seen and heard, but just like implementing change. I want to keep doing that in every aspect, wherever I go, if it's not here, just like my biggest fear is not doing that, to not make an impact.
Sponsored by Northland Cares, HIV specialty care clinic, located in both Prescott and Cottonwood. For more information, visit northlandcares.org.
I think that's great. I think you're in some good roles in order to fulfill making an impact. I mean, you already have, and I think you continue to. What is your favorite part of the day?
I would say on the rare occasion I can have like a slow start morning, I really like those. You know, going to the hospital, that's early every time. And then driving to Prescott, I have to leave pretty early too. But when you can like take a slow start, I have a great view of like the forest from my house, like hanging out with my husband, maybe taking your dogs for a walk. Slow start mornings would be my favorite part of the day when they happen.
When they happen, that's right. Those are great moments though, when they do happen. So we hold on to them. And what is your favorite word?
I think I actually have this tattooed on me, but it's meliorism. It's the belief that human beings can make the world better through their actions. So I think that's my favorite word.
I love that. I love that. I bet it's a beautiful tattoo. And then can you remind the listeners how they can learn more about PASS and get in touch?
Sure. So you can go to our website. It's PrescottShelters.org, or our number is 928-778-5933. We have volunteers here Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, just to make sure that our phones are answered and the door is answered. So they can definitely explain how we work if you want to call. But our website, thanks to you, is very thorough and beautiful and easy to navigate. So people can definitely look on our website. They can see videos of previous guests telling their stories. They can read all about our different programs and what they entail to really answer your questions. But we're happy to answer them if you call or email me too.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate having you on.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
Sponsored by Pilera Health, guiding your way to wellness since 1966. The mission of Pilera Health is to provide accessible, compassionate, holistic healthcare that strengthens our community. For more information, call 928-445-5211. Thank you for listening to Empowering Women, Got a Minute? We hope you tune in next week, and you can check out any of our episodes at PrescottWomanMagazine.com. Talk to you later.